Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India. Welcome back to India FinTech Diaries, your go-to show for all things Indian FinTech. I'm Elroy, your host, and today we begin a brand new segment that focuses on payments.
And I'm your host, Hemant. Elroy, to begin this segment, we will take a look at transit payments. Public transit is used by almost 200 million Indians annually, of which 70 to 80 million people use it daily. But most of these payments are made with cash. The shift to cashless payments for transit is now gaining momentum. And to discuss this with us, we have P.T. Suresh, co-founder of Paycraft. Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, P.T.
Thank you.
P.T., we had the distinction of launching India's first fleet card program way back in the 1990s. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about your background and what prompted you to make the jump into this entire space of transit payments.
Yeah. Okay. You see, more than two decades of my professional life was spent in, oil company, that is Hindustan Petroleum.
Right.
So, our end customer as well as the domain was always, the customers who consumed fuel in the retail sector, that was the motor cars and the trucks that ply on Indian roads.
Right.
So that gave a deep insight into what really are the pain points of these people. And it was in that context that we launched the fleet card, I think about 26 years back in India. And we had our own unique problems compared to the cards existing those days, which was issued by the banks. It did not really address the need for the transport the segment at all. So we were the first one, if I recall, to bring contactless cards into India, because contact cards don't work in fuel stations.
Right.
In 3 to 4 days on the highways, it's clogged with dust, water, you name anything. And, the banks did not have the infrastructure even to service those point of sale machines. And so contactless cards were brought. We designed our own payment system, which is closed loop. We designed our own loyalty programs, settlement, etc., etc. If I am right, even today, it is the largest payment program in the country. Between the three public sector and the two private sector oil marketing companies, their daily transaction may be 100 times bigger than, by value, I mean,
right.
The retail payments is so big in that sector. And even today, it continues the same way. Of course, now they've started accepting bank cards, etc. Now contactless or a dual interface cards have come. So that's helped a lot. And the open loop cards are now being accepted at fuel stations, which all of you are aware.
Right.
I think when I left 20 years back itself, we were doing about 300 or 400 crores worth of transaction a day, only HPCL. So maybe 1,000 crores for the entire oil companies. And today, I think it is somewhere around 5,000 to 6,000 crores or maybe even 10,000 crores. I left that sector long back. But just to give you an idea how large that segment is.
Right,
so
right.
I had that background when me and Ravi Jain, incidentally, Ravi was also from E&Y. We started Paycraft Solutions and decided to concentrate on this segment. So that's the context. So the fleet cards gave me the understanding from an IT or a fintech perspective, what needs to be done for this segment. And we had issued those days itself 1 million cards and things like that. In fact, I was the architect of the first co-branded program with the ICICI Bank. HPCL, ICICI credit cards, co-branded, HPCL, ICICI debit cards, which gave a host of benefits to the card users, which actually paved the way for mass use of cards as a payment device at fuel stations.
So, PT, the thing with transit payments, at least what we have seen, is that all of us use it, but a very limited number of people really understand what the different categories of transit payments are, what happens in the background, who are the stakeholders involved, and what are the prevalent models that exist in transit payments. So it would be great, PT, if you can just give a quick view on all these aspects.
Okay, the quick view is, I think you're right in your introduction. Cash still dominates all segments of India, and that continue in particularly in retail payments, and that includes the transit case also, though online has completely changed the game, at least on long distance travel. So when we started looking at payments in transit using card, so you know, technically we call it electronic payments, because the card contains a chip, which is nothing, which is basic electronics. So that's why.
Right, right.
So from paper, we moved to card as an electronic payments. And then we faced a big issue there. The systems used by each public transport organizations, even in a particular city, are so different that a city traveler will have to use multiple cards, and later on in the digital world, wallets, and that was not really helping anyone. And then still you had to stand in queues in every public transport, whether it is suburban rail, metro, bus, etc. Between me and Ravi, we understood that India needs to bring, let me put it that way, a national common mobility card specification.
Okay. Right.
So that's how the journey started in transit payments here. We were, I think EY was the consultant to Ministry of
Urban. That's right.
And so I was a consultant those days, after resigning from HPCL. And I was a subject matter expert at that point of time for EY. I don't remember your partner's name in Delhi now, it's many years back. But Sujit Nair played a very key role. From your side, I think later on left after being director based in Bangalore. We finally, when we made this whole specification document, the ENY, the ministry suddenly understood, or the government suddenly understood, that this is a technical subject. And they, in their wisdom, decided that NPCI, National Payment Corporation,
correct,
be the custodian of this specification. Because they understand payment, and they are a local homegrown payment scheme, etc., etc. And that is how today the NCMC specification is handled by them. And they have been trying to expand this, they have an initiative for public transport to use this.
Correct.
So it goes under the RuPay brand name, but then since it is open loop, it confirms in a larger framework to the EMV specification, which is a standard that is being used in the banking industry. So in short, this specification, cards which are issued with this NCMC specification can be a credit card, can be a debit card, can be a prepaid card. And so it is also used in transit, just like you use it in the normal world. That's, in sum and substance, the whole thing. The other aspect is, when you asked me what type of other payments.
Right.
See, the first project that we did in a metro with NCMC was the Cochin Metro.
Right.
So we were able to, EY was the consultant there, actually. And since they knew that we did a lot of work here, they invited us to come and help implement that. So we brought in Axis Bank, and we implemented it. It is now 7 years eighth year, running very well. But I'm coming back to the point: you don't find this usage in a big way in the metro. So, and then if suppose somebody does not have a card for whatever reasons, we'll come to that later. Then what is the option? Go back to paper tickets by paying cash. So we hit upon the idea that that should not be the case. And that is how QR code, as the first digital form of payment, was introduced in Metro, in Kochi Metro.
Right.
I think 60% or 55 to 60% of the payment is, there's no cash in Metro anymore. So it is QR code. You can download it on your mobile. And if you have problems with a smartphone, you can actually take from the vending machine a QR code paper ticket. And that in combination with the NCMC card powers the Metro. And that model is currently being replicated across the country. So that in sum and substance is, so you have cash, you have card, and you have digital payment in the sense that it is QR code. The wallets or let us say a virtual card inside a smartphone is still not implemented. I think that would be the next step. And then we complete the whole process of having physical payment like cash. I mean, it's by which you can still get a prepaid card and then bank issued card, NCMC, and you will have digital payments. All three modes Kochi actually paved the way for this. Ahmedabad immediately followed after that. You know, Ahmedabad, BRTS, not Metro.
Right.
And then, you know, it's slowly being introduced across the country.
Got it. Very interesting, PT, that you brought up Kochi Metro. Now, suppose if we take an example of Kochi Metro itself and we take one of the payment modes, say the card, then when a card is tapped on the turnstile and the entire transaction happens when the person again taps and exits, if you can help us explain who are the different parties involved and how does the economics work for each party? What does each party get in ranges or how does it work? It would be great to understand the money that is made by each party within the entire process and the parties involved.
Okay. Because of contractual conditions, only Axis Bank has the right to issue and use open loop card in Kochi Metro, which the government is now changing it to all banks can do, etc.
Right.
So I was sorting out the issue, but I am saying typically if you use a bank card, right now it is only prepaid. They have not yet opened it to debit card and credit card, but that's a different subject. We'll come to that later. But typically, right, when a bank issues a card, it's a contactless card. Even before it touches the gate readers, 10 centimeters before itself, it is read. So within about 500 to 600 milliseconds, the payment transaction is completed. That speed you need in Metro, because Metro gate is designed to take nearly 40-45 passengers a minute,
right.
So the payment system also has to be into that level, so the kind of the card software as well as the reader software is at a much higher level than what you see in normal retail transaction,
right.
so that's what happens. So you tap immediately. So when you tap into the gate, the money is deducted from the wallet, which is an Axis Bank wallet inside the card, and
right,
you are allowed entry there. And when you can go to any stations of the 22 or 23 stations that they have, and you get out again, it is tapped there, and that exit gates readers, the software which companies like Paycraft provides,
correct,
in split second calculates what should be the ultimate fare that should be debited into the for this travel. So when you enter in at a gate, it will just our software says, yes, this is the gate, this is the station, and this is the time when the passenger entered. When you exit, the software knows exactly which station, so it will check the business rules, and let us say it is 10 rupee ticket or 15 rupees ticket or 20 rupees ticket.
Right.
The system calculates that and debits it from the card wallet. All this happens under 1 second. So that's the performance level required from a software application point of view, which very few companies, forget India, across the world also has.
Correct.
So that's the thing. And once that is done, it's all offline. It's not online.
Right.
So every 10, 15 minutes, or it's a configuration parameter. Every 5 minutes also, the station computers and the system keep sending this to a switch, all this data. The switch, incidentally, is provided by companies like Paycraft.
Correct.
Which understands which bank card, and it sends it this whole transaction to the banks. And, then all the settlement happens. The bank will debit the card holder's account. It will credit the Metro account. And end of the day, by, I think, 11, 12 o'clock, the whole reconciliation and settlement file is generated by backend systems which we provide, and the metro guys know that I need to get overall 10 lakhs today from the entire transit ticketing, and that 10 lakhs is electronically transferred to the metro account next day by the issuing or acquiring bank together, which is Axis Bank in this case.
Right.
So that in sum totals up, and it goes on smoothly. So the whole thing is automated. So there is hardly any manual intervention. And as I said, this is going on for the last 7 years in that metro, and it's true for most other metros also.
PT, just had a small little follow-up question. Does this transit industry also work on the basis of MDR, like a typical payments industry?
Yes.
So what would be the typical MDR you would see then in that case, as far as transit payments is concerned?
It depends on the scope of work which the bank and their and their solution provider or system integrator has entered into a contract. In the case of Cochin, the whole ticketing system, including the mechanical gates, the station computers, the backend systems, communication, everything is provided by this consortium of system integrator and the bank. So in Cochin, it will be on the higher end. Anyway, it is all public knowledge. So there is another model by which the metro builds the whole system.
Right.
And they will only invite a bank to say, yes, I am giving you the rights to acquire these transactions.
Right.
And issue tickets from my counter. Okay. So the MDR could vary depending on the model of contract that they have entered in, the banks have entered into with the public transport organization. It will vary from as low as 0.5 to 4 to 5%.
Understood. That's fairly interesting, PT. I had another quick follow-up question on this. The model that you just described, right, is typically what you would call as a card-based payment, because the balance resides on the card and that's typically how it's swiped, right?
That's right.
And if you look at institutions like Transport for London, they've actually gone a slightly different way, which is more of account-based ticketing model, where the account is account attached with the card is debited at the end of the day for consolidated transactions.
Right? Yes. Yes.
So could you maybe spend a little bit of time, maybe just a quick 2 minutes, just to give us a quick contrast between the two methods and relative pros and cons of them?
Yes. So very right. The technical term used in for the what is happening in India today on card-based payment. The other one is technically called account-based payment. Okay. So that's the most convenient way of payment, no doubt about it. Then, you carry any card of any bank and any type of card. It could be a prepaid, it could be a credit, it could be a debit, long as it is issued under the aegis of a payment scheme which is accepted internationally. When you tap the card on the gate here, again, like I said earlier, all those things happen. The software will identify the station, the gate, time, everything. The difference here now is at the exit gate.
Yeah.
At the exit gate, it does not go and debit a wallet, where there is, in an electronic wallet or an electronic purse inside the card.
Correct.
Instead of that, it only checks that this card is a valid card or not, in the sense that the issuer bank has not blacklisted it.
Right.
And they allow the passenger to exit as long as that flag is ticked to green. And then the fare calculation, creation of a reconciliation between who's the acquirer, who's the issuer, and the settlement file, debiting the customer's account, etc., happens in the back end. Customer is not even aware, the public transport not even aware.
Okay. Right.
So unlike the earlier one, here there is a risk. Suppose there is no balance in the account,
Correct.
It goes into negative. The process is, is different. The banks have to spend a lot of time, etc., etc. But that risk the acquiring bank and the issuing bank takes. So they want information almost on real time. Again, this is an offline. It's not an online thing. So the transaction that happens, I think in the interval of 1 minute, it is bunched across all stations and sent to the acquiring bank. So actually speaking, if your travel time is 30 minutes, by the time this traveler exits at the exit gate, the system knows that there is even balance and it is not in blacklisted. Suppose, right, for whatever reasons, that time, his travel time is only 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you know the banks have still not cleared this transaction, it does not matter in account based, you know, it will allow. So it's a conscious decision taken by the issuer and the acquirer and the payment scheme all put together, saying that these are small value payments, let us take a risk. After all, they are our clients, we can always, you know, go get back to them. You know, these things work in societies where, you know, there is high compliance, you know, to norms, etc. Perhaps that's the reason why these models emerged in developed countries like UK, Europe, America, Singapore, etc. But I think the next phase is in India. It is going to come. With that, you know, there is going to be a very, very less, in very thin in hardware, etc., and consequently less investment. Today, in a typical metro with 20 to 25 stations, yeah, it will cost them anything between, you know, 80 to 100 crore to invest to set up a ticketing system. In account-based ticketing, that will drastically drop, perhaps even half of that. So there's a big saving there. No headaches, less processes, etc. And I think that's the way the world is moving. And I'm happy to say that in India also, the test trials are going on, and Paycraft is one of the, you know, very key solution and system providers involved in that. I hope in a year's time, you will see that happening in India.
That's really great to hear, PT. PT, I had another quick set of questions, right? Today, if you look at India, that's almost as an addressable market of almost $10 billion plus as far as transit payments is concerned. And digitization of transit payments, honestly, is not a very new story per se, because I distinctly remember way back, almost a decade back in 2008, like in Mumbai, used to have this new contactless go card, which you could use pretty much on all buses, trains, etc. But that never really picked up. And even today, if you see, cash is still king as to a large extent as far as bus transit and to some extent train and metro transit is concerned in cities. So what do you think are some of the barriers to adoption of digital payments as far as transit is concerned?
Digital payments will happen if, you know, the most, you see, everything depends on habit. You know, you know, for people, you know, we all live by what's our habits. Perhaps 80% of our action every day, you know, on particularly mechanical things, you know, like, actually, I have to pay. The first thing that crosses your mind, you know, to remove your purse. Actually, smart mobile phone has changed that in a big way. It's the most ubiquitous thing that is today, you know, in the hands of anyone, irrespective of whether he's traveling or not.
Right.
So, if you are able to move the payment media, whether it is a card or any type of card, or even it's a digital payment, into this mobile phone, then cash will hardly be anything anymore. So that has to be the focus. Earlier, you know, it was a little cumbersome, but the operating systems, you know, which is this the fundamental software which drives the applications, that has now improved a lot, particularly in the Android segment.
Right.
And whatever technically we have seen is that it is now possible and seamless to even put a virtual card, a QR code, everything comes on a mobile. You will see this change happening in the next 2 to 3 years. Plus, combined with, you know, demographic pattern of the youngsters, you know, now increasingly traveling more than the older generation, they come from a different era. You know, they, for them, digital payment is, you know, just like what we were used to 20 years Correct. Back, cards. So it's a social, socio-behavioral pattern that will also be important here. And technically, as I said, we will be ready in 1 or 2 years on everything. And even the public transport organizations are realizing it, and they are spending more and more time on forcing people like us, you know, please make the mobile application, you know, simpler, seamless, attractive, etc., etc. I think that process will drive it, and then you will see perhaps a difference in the next 1 to 2 years, and it will be drastic.
PT, now changing gears and moving our focus to Paycraft, you touched upon the different services that Paycraft offers. And now, in a single instance, it would be great if you can help us understand the products and services that Paycraft offers to the different parties, whether it's issuer or acquirer or the transit authorities.
We started 10 years back as a fintech company into payments. And that was our entire vision or focus to make urban travel pleasure for people and bring in convenience of payment for them for transit and other small value payments in a typical journey of any citizen who travels. You know, in our corporate presentation also, we start with that, and that has not changed.
Right.
We have developed products, we have issuing system, we have developed, if you start from the beginning, we have developed card applets, which is the starting in the card side. We have developed applications on the point of sale machines or readers or terminals. You know, there are different terminologies for these kind of devices. Then the next level is the switch, which takes the transaction. We build our own switch, all these conforms to the ISO specific, standards, which the banks and MasterCard, Visa, Rupee prescribes. And from the switch, so we went into the backend systems of issuing platform. So we have card issuance platform, credit card, debit card, and prepaid card. So the full suite of products, right from the card issuance to card acquiring to the card itself, as well as the machines that accompany it, the whole suite of software was built by us, designed by us, built by us, and implemented by us over the last 10 years, the focus always being transit. That's the suite of products. But what really happened and which we did not see, because, many things are, out of experience.
Right.
When we started implementing this, like Cochin, and I think the next one was Indore, Ahmedabad, etc., we realized something very fundamental weakness in the whole system. 8 to 10 years back, we realized that there are no Indian companies providing automatic fare collection system. That means those, if I describe it in simple words, those automatic gates,
correct,
the counters, issuance, the control system, etc. All these were dominated by three foreign companies: Samsung SDS, Thales, and Indra.
Right.
The rest of all our system integrators. Indian companies will bid for the project, because no foreign company will bid for, public sector and government projects because of the very harsh terms and conditions, or I would say one-sided terms and conditions associated with it. So on paper, you will see a so-and-so system integrator, but the solutions were from these people. And when we tried to implement the NCMC specifications into this automatic fare collection system, they refused to cooperate for different reasons. India was not a priority market for them. And they are very expensive, they are engineers. So they just did not want to do this. So Paycraft moved from just payment system into automatic fare collection system, which is actually a different ball game, which is got a combination of not only IT, but mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, civil engineering, and, so many aspects connected with that. But then we suddenly realized, having decided that we will be in this segment, we build that vertical. And I'm happy to say that we have now implemented automatic fare collection system in metros, in BRTS, in buses, with our own products and applications which support those gates and other things. It is actually in this context that we have recently been awarded a metro project internationally, though it is not publicly announced, but Dubai as we are an important element in that consortium is bid for the Dubai project, which is moving into open loop from closed loop. I would say in a nutshell that we now have two suites of products from a very broad perspective: the payment products and also the automatic fare collection system products.
Got it. PT, actually, some time that I've also spent in this space, every time we used to create this stack of saying, okay, to implement a metro solution, payment solution, what are the different elements required and who are the players operating it? And one name which was always there was Paycraft. So I'm very happy that it is panning out and you have seen tremendous success and traction as far as your solutions are concerned. So if you can give us like few numbers and nuggets of what traction and success you have seen, that would be great.
I will start with the open loop payments.
Yeah.
National Common Mobility Card specifications we implemented. So incidentally, just before I say something, you know, everybody talks about NCMC, you know.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, if at all anywhere you want to translate this into a layman's language, while NCMC document itself would be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages, it is nothing but standards and specifications of data exchange, security and protocols between a media and a device while traveling in public transport.
Right.
You know, so that is in short, that is, everything else is built on this specification, you know, it is the fundamental bedrock, India's own specification and everything built on it, you know. So I would say 98% of NCMC payments implemented in all the metros in the country today, right, you know, it is powered by our application. We are behind either the bank who provides these services, or we do it directly with the public transport organizations. As of today, there is nobody in India who can really compete with us on that level. So I think there are about 14 or 15 metro projects implemented and some on the in the implementation stage. We are there everywhere. So it's a virtual monopoly on that side. So I think I have the figures. We have today 15 operational metros where we are involved in one way or the other. The other, that's from a number perspective. We have issued more than 4 to 5 million cards for the banks, you know, into this area for travel. And our QR code issuance system would have issued perhaps a billion, you know. So that's the kind of virtual domination we have on this. We think we are going to be a great big player now, replacing these foreign companies, which is already there in India,
right,
into automatic fare collection system. We already done that in 2 or 3 places. Post our arrival, Samsung shut shop in India, SDS. You know, Indra has just decided not to bid. Indra is a Spanish company, incidentally. They are there in other segments, but, you know, no one could compete against homegrown Indian companies, you know, in terms of price, etc. They're
yeah.
good companies. They're certainly good companies, but I, you know, it's other factor. The last surviving company here is Thales in India, who still are involved in the Delhi Metro.
Right.
So in many ways, we are happy to see that, you know, we are part of Make in India concept, which of course came only in the last 3 to 4 years or 4 to 5 years, but we have been there from 7 to 8 years.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. Interesting. And PT, a two-part question, next one. One is, where do you see the transit payments as a segment heading in the near future for India? And consequently, what are your plans within India and globally as well?
So, I mean, you have the numbers with you. These are all in public information.
Right.
You know, the currently, you know, the metro ridership is about roughly 3 billion per annum in India. And the BRTS is about 6 billion. And I think the city buses, which is the most, you know, least penetrated, maybe around 50 billion. Ridership per day. So this kind of size, you know, apart from India and China, I don't think any country has. In terms, that's huge potential is there. The challenge is the adoption and conversion. If you ask me to answer you very, we have still touched hardly 10% of the potential.
Right.
So Yeah, I mean, the future is there. It's huge. There are challenges because, you know, they are, most of them are running operational system. Try changing something, you know, in the ticketing system in suburban rail, Mumbai, which takes 5 to 6 million people a day only on morning itself.
Right.
So those are the challenges we face. But the Government of India and the Ministry of Urban Development has done a great job, not only in, you know, sponsoring these things, but giving the incentive, monitoring and things like that. One or two cities in India, we are able to show as an example. I can tell you every other city will follow. And then you will see whatever numbers you see today is going to grow exponentially. I would give you an example or a parallel example in India, what happened in toll. It is the initiative of the Government of India, particularly the Ministry of Road Transport, NHAI, that today made India's electronic toll collection system the largest in the world in terms of numbers and things like that. Incidentally, though it was not Baycraft per se, but me involved again here with ENY in creating the specification for what you call this FASTag as the brand.
Correct.
It's called NETC. You know, we were the advisors to the Government of India for, again, a specification. So it's called as NETC specification, just like NCMC. There, the implementation happened because the government had the will to do this. And you know, the government will to not only say, give the impetus, but also monitor this. There is not a single national highway in the country which does not accept FASTag. This problem that you are saying, you know, how will people adopt, etc., we face there also. You ask a truck guy, you know, to put that tag, only 20-30% fellows will comply. You know, they also like by cash. They are afraid of getting tracked. There are so many issues there. The government issued a guidelines. If you don't have FASTag, you pay 2 times. Automatically, it started coming. No fool pay 500 rupees instead of 250 rupees. You know, so these kind of incentives, carrot and stick policy, etc., made it a success. Even on your cars today, we brought out rules. You know, we told the government, and they issued fiats to the OEM saying that no vehicle will leave without a tag from your factory.
Right.
So those are the kind of things, you know, you need to tame 1.4 billion or 1.3 billion people in this country to come online. It's very difficult. Particularly with the federal structure, the state structure, and the local structure, etc., the challenges are heavy. But that's why it is pretty slow. You know, I can understand context where you're saying 7-8 years back also we started. Why it is not there? But if you ask me, we are seeing the change. You know, but the inertia is there, and once the juggernaut starts rolling, you know, it will start going all around the country, and that's the way we see it. I agree, you need patience. You see, a company like us has burned so much of money and time fostering this concept itself, because that's the vision we saw, that's a dream we saw. But, you know, you need to pay with sacrifices. You know, some things have to be done. But 2025, if we are able to do a similar podcast, we will be talking different stories in terms of numbers, that I can assure you, particularly on the transit side.
Excellent, PT. It was indeed a pleasure to have you on the show today. In case any of our listeners wanted to know more about Paycraft, what's the best way that they can do that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we do have our website. You can send a query there on the email. There are people who will reply and get back to them. And, you know, our numbers are there. And they can reach out to, if they can even address to me, it will be marked to me. I see every mail, actually, irrespective of where it comes from, where it comes. And then we can take it forward.
Sounds great. We'll include those notes in the show notes, PT. And once again, thanks for joining us today.
Welcome. It's our, you know, and good job in, you know, spreading this kind of information through your podcast. Thank you.
That concludes another episode of India FinTech Diaries. Remember to visit our website, India FinTech Diaries, for exclusive content. And until next time, stay safe and keep exploring the world of FinTech.